This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. Before we get to our stories this week, a quick reminder that you can find more old-time radio, past episodes of this podcast, more from the series you're going to hear today, and thousands of other shows at relicradio.com. It's the home of Relic Radio. It's also where you can donate. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, click on that donate button or visit donate.relicradio.com. The podcasts are only made possible by your support. Thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Now our stories this week. We'll begin with FBI and Peace and War and The Collector, their story from December 8, 1954. Then it's Philo Vance and the 1 Cent Murder Case. That episode aired July 12, 1949.
WBBM FM, Chicago.
The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Collector.
Question. Miss Dorso, how long had your brother been working for Sylvan Mordenoy? Answer, about 6 months, maybe seven. Question. You knew the kind of work it was, didn't you?
Answer. Hold it a second, Steve. Agent Reynolds speaking. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, we're going over the police interview now. Anything new on Nick Dorso? All right, sir. We'll let you know the minute we've completed our review.
Mr. Andrews?
Yeah. Nick Dorso is still holding his own, but no more than that.
No statement from him?
No. The doctors won't allow him to talk. Mr. Andrews said they only give him an even chance to pull through.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess we'd better get back to this.
What do you think, Steve? You believe Gene Dorso's story?
So far, it's pretty hard to tell.
She seems like a decent, straightforward girl.
Yes, she does. Only...
I know. Only, how does a decent, straightforward girl come to shoot down her own brother?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're right. We'd better get back to the transcript.
Now, where was I?
Question. You knew the kind of work it was, didn't you?
Answer. Yes, sir, I did. Question. And Nick's wife, did she know? Answer. No, he always kept those things from her. Question. Those things? Answer. How he worked for a loan shark, how he took in his collections, things like that. Question. Could you give us an example, Miss Dorso? Answer. Like the night he collected from old man Angelo. Question. Miss Dorso, suppose you tell us in your own words exactly what you know about that. Answer. Well, it was like usual.
Come on, open up. We know you're in there. Gus, knock one more time, then you and Arnie kick in the door. Okay, kick it in.
What is it? What do you want?
Results. Open up, Angelo. We want to see you.
Listen, miss.
Yeah, sure. Close the door, Arnie. Gus, make an estimate on the furniture.
Right, Nick.
Well, hello, Angelo. Remember me?
Yes, I remember. What do you want?
What do I want, the man says. You hear that, boys?
Well, it's that TV, Nick. Everybody a comic.
Yeah. Everybody but Mr. Mordenoy. Now, there, Angelo, there is a very serious individual. To him, a debt of honor is no laughing matter. What about that, huh?
I paid. I paid already three times over, mister. Joe Angelo got no money to pay no more.
Gus, let's have a look at that account sheet.
Yeah, it's right here.
Thank you. All paid up, Angelo.
Look, Miss
Abel, Ackerman, Allen, Angelo. Here we are. Joseph Angelo, $500 loan. Amount still unpaid, $396. Well, it looks like you and Mr. Mordenoy got different books, friend.
I paid $500. More than $500 I paid.
Oh, so what about interest? You pay that, too? Mr. Mordenoy don't take kindly to lending out good dough without loanies pay back with interest.
Interest? I pay so much interest.
Easy, pal. Keep your voice down.
No. I say what's on my mind. Mordenoy is nothing but a crook. I should have gone to a bank, to a legitimate loan company. I should have gone. I do nothing but pay and pay and no end to it. Well, Joseph Angelo does not pay anymore.
Mm-hmm. Arnie, Gus, you both heard me. I was good to this loanee, reasonable.
Gus, Nick,
lock the door, will you, and close the transom. Arnie, shut those windows.
Nick, wait a minute.
What for? Joseph Angelo does not pay anymore. So Nick Dorso does not wait anymore. Come here, Angelo. Well, Mr. Angelo, friend, I am a collector. My job is to collect. What I'm going to do, I'm going to carry out my job. One way or the other, I'm going to collect from you, Angelo. That's what I'm going to do.
Question. And will you tell us how your brother collected from Joseph Angelo? Answer. He beat the poor man up, that's how. And also he and Arnie and that Gus, they moved out all his furniture. Question. How much did Nick get paid for doing this sort of thing? Answer. I don't know exactly, only it must have been quite a lot. He was always giving his wife money. Nick always had plenty of cash on hand.
Hey, Rose, 50 enough?
Thanks, Nick. That's more than enough.
Well, so take another 20 here. Buy something for yourself, as well as Nick Dorso's wife. She ought to look like something, right? So here's an even century. Buy something pretty like yourself.
Oh, you're so good to me, Nick. Isn't he, Jean? Your brother's the best husband a girl ever had.
You better get the baby to the park, Rose.
Oh, yeah, I better. Nick, there's cold ham in the icebox for your lunch.
Yeah, okay, Rose. Jean will fix me something.
Don't forget, Jean. Something hot, maybe a little...
Yeah, sure. Hurry it up, Rose, while the sun's still nice and warm.
Hurry. Bye, Nick.
I see you, honey.
Why don't you tell her the truth, Nick? Why don't you tell her how you really make this money?
Oh, wind it up. I'm tired of hearing that.
Why don't you tell her what really keeps you working so late nights, you and that little chorus girl from the 18 Club?
Shut up with that kind of talk. If you ever say one word to Rose...
Hey, can't you see where this is all heading?
You bet I see. I got dough in my pocket. I'm having a time of my life. I'm headed straight for a lot more of both.
Nick?
Never mind, Nick. You could save the lectures. Who are you to talk anyway? What do you got? No job, no man either.
Okay.
I pay my own way. I take care of my family. At least I do that.
Sure, you're a big guy now.
You bet I am. I'm getting bigger.
And Rose?
What, Rose don't know who would hurt her unless you open your face. And if you ever do so...
You're what? Slap me around like old man Angelo? Beat me up the way you did him?
You better not come around here no more, Jean. You won't be welcome.
Rose asked me over. I come to see her, not a hoodlum like you.
One day you're going to take me too far. I warn you, Jean.
Thanks for nothing.
Well, just keep it up. Go on.
You're on your way to the cell house, Nick. Why don't you stop now?
Why don't you mind your own business? I know what I'm on my way to, and what's more, I'm going to get there. Don't you worry none about that.
Back to the collector in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. Yes, you can chew Wrigley's Spearmint after meals, between meals, anytime and as long as you want. You get your satisfaction from the delicious flavor and the natural, pleasant chewing. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is wholesome and good for you. So make your daily treat Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. It's a treat you can trust for healthful daily enjoyment. Always keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum handy in your purse or pocket. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Helpful, refreshing, delicious. Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, The Collector.
Question. And after your quarrel with Nick Dorso, where did he go? Answer. To see Mr. Mordenoy. Question. Miss Dorso, were you acquainted with Sylvan Mordenoy? Answer. No. I only knew him by name, and maybe I spoke to him once or twice when I answered the phone for my brother or Rose. I only knew he had a nice speaking voice and good manners and lived in a swank penthouse in the fancy section of town.
Hello, Philippe. Is Mr.
That you, Nick?
Yeah, Gus.
We're out here on the terrace.
Right. Okay, Philippe, thanks. I know my way.
Hey, Philippe, while you're at it, Mr. Mordenoy wants some more of them little black eggs there. Come on out, Nick. It's nice and cool out here.
Yeah, feels real good. How are you, Gus? Hello, Mr. Mordenoy.
Drop a chair, Nick. Gus, a plate and a glass for our friend.
No, thanks. Just have my lunch.
Lunch? My dear fellow, you must keep better hours. Sleep is vital to the thinking man. Am I correct, Gus?
100%. What he means, Nick, he's just now having breakfast.
I suppose you're wondering why I called.
A little, yeah.
You don't mind if I continue with breakfast?
Go right ahead, sure.
We've been talking about you behind your back, Nick. Gus and I have. And we've come to the conclusion that you're a definite asset to our little organization.
Well, thanks.
A definite asset, but also a definite liability.
Hmm?
Gus tells me Mr. Angelo offered some mild resistance to meeting his obligation. Is that right?
Well, mild is not the word. He said he wouldn't pay anymore. He said he should have gone to a bank or a legit loan company.
Yes, so Gus was telling me. These people act like animals. Quite disgusting, really. Bank. Legitimate loan company. The only reason they come to me is because neither bank nor loan company would give them a single penny. Gus, drop more of the Chablis, if you please.
Sure, boss.
Point I want to make, Nick, is simply this. The inferior man in our organization can usually achieve his wants by physical means. But the superior man, and this is what I'm hoping for you, Nick, the superior man achieves the same wants by mental means. Do you follow me?
I follow you, Mr. Mordenoy, but if some clown refuses to pay...
One must then find a subtle way to persuade him otherwise.
Beat-ups is old-fashioned, Nick. You always leave yourself open to trouble with the law.
Eloquently stated, Gus. And now that the matter is settled...
Well, Mr. Mordenoy...
Now that the matter is settled, Nick, we won't ever mention it again. Gus, my coffee's getting cold. Please tell our friend of the defection in our organization.
He means Chuck Roscoe, Nick.
What about Chuck?
Well, he's been pulling a nifty. Tony and Mike Spaniel found out.
What kind of nifty?
Reporting no collections and pocketing the payments himself.
Can you imagine, Nick? Biting the very hand that feeds.
Mr. Mordenoy would like to have a talk with Chuck Roscoe, Nick. Nice, friendly little talk.
Do you think you could persuade Mr. Roscoe to come here? Subtly persuade him?
Sure I could, Mr. Mordenoy.
Ah, there you are, Gus, all taken care of. All right, Nick, I believe we've covered everything. You know your way out. It's been good seeing you. Good morning.
Question. Nick went from Mordenoy's place to the apartment of Chuck Roscoe. Answer. That's what he said. Only Roscoe wasn't home.
And he's not coming home. Chuck's out of town.
So I'll wait. I got nothing but time, Mrs. Roscoe.
You can't wait. I gotta fix it.
Go on. You gotta fix what?
Nothing. Nothing I gotta fix.
Dinner, maybe. I see the table is set for two.
So what? So, a girlfriend's coming over. What are you doing here, anyhow? I don't like the way you look. What are you doing?
Well, I gotta fix something, too, Mrs. Roscoe.
I don't like the way you look. I sure don't.
In a way, that's a shame. You don't look half bad to me.
What do you want with Chuck, mister? What do you want with him?
Well, you really... What's that?
What?
Downstairs buzzer?
I didn't hear anything.
Come now, Mrs. Roscoe. I used to live in a walk-up like this. This looks like the answering button right here. That's what it is. Well, I'll be real pleased to say hello to your girlfriend.
Please, mister, leave Chuck alone.
What can I do, Mrs. Roscoe, with him out of town?
What are you doing?
I forgot my glasses. The light was hurting my eyes. Step over here with me, huh, Mrs. Roscoe?
No!
This isn't a pea shooter I'm pointing at you. Step over here. I wouldn't talk anymore if I was you.
There's
no more talking, Mrs. Roscoe. I won't tell you again.
Chuck me in!
Boy, you
got him on my lungs!
Stay where you are, Chuck. Stop or I'll thrill you. I'm sure you asked for it.
Question. And what happened after the shooting? Answer. Nick went home and hid the gun in his bedroom closet. Question. He told you what happened? Answer. Not then. Later, after he learned the truth about Mordenoy. Question. He didn't tell you anything about Mrs. Roscoe. Answer. No, nothing more than I just said. Dave, It was right after the shooting that you saw Mrs. Roscoe, wasn't it?
About 36 hours after. The police here didn't know Roscoe's background for almost 24 hours.
The shooting was on a Wednesday. Their wire came in Thursday. I saw Mrs. Roscoe early Friday. 36 is about it.
You want to fill me in on that?
All right. I saw Mrs. Roscoe at the hospital before noon on Friday. She was brought there after the shooting in a state of shock. I think you know that much. By the time I arrived, she was considerably better, but her eyes looked as if she had been crying.
Please. I don't know anything. Nothing at all.
Mrs. Roscoe, I'm here to help you if I can. Your husband has been killed, shot down. Surely you want to... Someone wanted your husband out of the way, Mrs. Roscoe. Why?
I don't know. I tell you, I don't know.
Did you know that Chuck Roscoe was wanted by our bureau?
No.
You didn't know?
No, maybe I did. Yes, I guess maybe I did know that. What difference does it make now? What difference? I don't know.
But you did know he was wanted by us?
Yes, yes.
And you also knew that he was doing something illegally here in town?
Yes.
I've been speaking with Inspector Kendall of your local police force. It's his guess that your husband was mixed up in a loan shark operation of some sort. Is that right?
What?
Will you tell me the name of the man or men behind this racket? Mrs. Roscoe, please try to understand why I'm pursuing this.
Mr. Reynolds, I'm afraid.
Tell me the names of the men and you won't have to be.
I'm so afraid.
You won't have to be anymore, Mrs. Roscoe. Just tell me the names and I promise you, you won't be afraid anymore.
Back to the collector in just a moment. Friends, when you chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, that good, delicious chewing just naturally helps to keep your mouth clean, fresh, and sweet. The natural chewing action helps to clean your teeth. The lively, refreshing flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum sweetens your breath and gives your mouth the fresh, clean feeling. So you see, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum gives you more than chewing enjoyment and satisfaction. Yes, it's good and good for you. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a long-lasting treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling. Get a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum next time you're at the store. Enjoy it often every day, as millions of people do. Act 3 of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, The Collector.
Question. Now, Miss Dorso, do you want to tell us exactly what happened leading up to your shooting your brother? Answer. It was an accident. I didn't mean to shoot Nick. Question. Why don't you tell us just what happened? Answer. Well, Rose had to take the wash to the laundromat in the neighborhood, and I'd come over to sit with the baby. Nick was there, but all he kept doing was going to the phone every other second.
Operator, hello, up. Oh, operator, listen, there must be something wrong with that line. I've been trying to get that number for days, can't you? What's... Oh, I see. You sure? All right, never mind.
Nick?
Huh? Oh, it's you.
Nick, don't be a fool.
Get out of my way, Gene. I want to finish packing.
If you run away, that'll only make it worse, Nick. Give yourself up. You can claim self-defense.
Yeah, sure. Hand me that suitcase, huh?
You'll never make it out of town. They'll be looking for a guy on the run. You know that.
Well, maybe, but they won't be looking for a guy with a kid. Now, come on. Let's have that suitcase.
John's a kid?
Mm-hmm. I'm taking Nicky with me.
You what?
You heard me. I'll get it. Hello.
Hello, Nick. This is me, Gus.
Well, Gus, where's everybody been? I've been trying to reach you like crazy.
Hold on a minute, Nick. Somebody wants to speak to you. Is that you, Nick?
Mr. Mordenoy, where are you? Where are you calling from?
Nick, I don't want you to talk. I want you to listen carefully. I'm speaking only once, and then I'm hanging up.
Go ahead.
The organization has left town. Because of your indiscretion, we were forced to leave. You won't know where we are, so don't attempt to contact us again. I'm sorry, Nick, but it seems you're inferior after all.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't do that. I gotta leave. Hey, you can't hang up on me. You can't. Hello. All right, they want to play like that. I'll show them.
You looking for this, Nick?
What?
This gun. Are you looking for it?
Hey, what's the idea?
What does it look like?
You're not leaving town after all, Nick. You're going to call the police.
What?
Either you are or I'm calling them for you.
Jane, what is this?
And which will it be, Nick? You or me?
I get it. It's the kid, eh? You don't want me to take the kid.
You or me? Which?
I'll tell you which, Jean. Either one of us. I thought you'd bust into my business once too often. This is that once. Give me that gun before I ram it down your throat. I'm leaving and I'm taking the kid with me.
No,
Give
Nick.
Me the gun, Jean.
Don't come near me. I'm warning you.
You won't shoot. You're too straight to hurt anybody, especially your own brother. Now, come on, let's have
don't
it.
Don't you come near me.
That's all you could say. Don't come near me. Don't take your own kid. Go on. Pull the trigger. See if you got the guts.
I mean it, Nick. I mean it.
Sure you do. Sure you mean it.
All right, get up.
Go.
Nick. Nick. Give me a doctor, Jean. Jean, give me a doctor.
Fortunately for both Jean Dorso and the state, her brother recovered from the gunshot wound and proved man enough to corroborate at least that part of the story which involved his sister, though steadfastly denying his part in the murder of Chuck Roscoe. Roscoe's widow, however, readily identified him as the killer, and he was subsequently convicted and sentenced to the extreme penalty according to the laws of the state. At the moment, Sylvan Mordenoy remains at large, leaving our file still open on The Collector.
Remember, friends, when you want a tasty treat that satisfies you without being rich or filling, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of delicious, long-lasting flavor in a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Real taste enjoyment. And besides, you get satisfaction from the pleasant chewing. It gives you comfort, helps relieve tension, and helps to tide you over till mealtime. So, do what millions do. Keep Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy and enjoy it every day. And you can enjoy it as often as you want because you know it's good and good for you. Inexpensive, too. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Elsbeth Eric played the part of Jean Dorso and Bob Reddick was Nick Dorso. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Club Date on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Homeowners, if you own an oil burner, you probably know what an inconvenience a service call on a stormy winter night can be. And a major cause of oil burner service calls is clogged filter screens. Well, this winter you can find the answer in Shell Furnace Oil, which contains a special ingredient, FOA-5X, that puts an end to clogged filter screens. This was proved when Shell Furnace Oil with FOA-5X was tested in thousands of homes for 3 years. In these tests, not one case of oil burner shutdown due to clogged filter screens was reported. Shell Furnace Oil with FOA-5X actually cleans as it heats. So reduce service calls. Avoid oil burner shutdowns. Call Shell Oil Company at Wabash 29080 and arrange for your winter supply of Shell Furnace Oil with FOA-5X. That's Shell Oil Company at Wabash 29080. 36 degrees at 725. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.
Find Joe Baker, please.
Boss, in back at his office if he's in.
Thank you.
Oh, Mama, buy me that.
Wow. Who wants to look at those pictures of the machines? I want to look at that.
Brother, you said, what how many pennies that it cost if you put in a machine, huh?
Higgs.
Well, there. Come in. Come in. What do I owe this unexpected pleasure? Sit down, Dale. Sit down.
I'll stand, Al, and I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm going to Hollywood, Al.
Yes, so I heard. I was very glad to hear about the break you got there. Very glad. You don't know how glad. I was getting a little tired of this penny-ante-penny arcade I'm running.
You haven't changed a bit, Al. I was hoping you would. That's why I came down here to see you. All right. How much is it going to cost to keep your mouth shut?
About what I know about you?
Yes.
Well, Dale, darling, I haven't decided yet. I'm not sure. I am the talkative type, you know.
How well I know. Al, I can't leave myself open to blackmail by you for the rest of my life.
Honey, you brought up the whole matter of blackmail. I didn't. Of course, if after you become a big star, you happen to mail me a couple of grand every so often, I squawk. In fact, I'd be practically speechless. You know what I mean?
I know. I'm sorry to say. Al, I can't go out to Hollywood with you hanging over my head, and I don't have the money to buy you off. I thought maybe if I came down here today, you'd be willing to forget what you know about me. But I see that was a mistake.
Offhand, I'd say it was.
Well, that means that something's got to be done about you, Al. And I know just the guy who can do it. Tell me I can't get in to see Philo Vance. I've got to get in his private office.
I'm sorry, I'll have to announce you.
Get out of the way, young lady. I'm going through that door and you're not going to stop me. Out of the way.
You're not going in there. You can't just break in on Mr. Vance that way. I tell you,
I'm going to.
What's going on here?
Mr. Vance, this girl insisted on going right into your office. I told her she'd have to wait until...
I don't have to wait until anything, Vance. I've got to talk to you.
Well, I guess there isn't anything I can do, but listen, is there? Come in, miss, please.
Thanks. Sorry I caused a disturbance, Vance, but I'm upset.
You rather upset my office assistant, I noticed. He's catching you. Please sit down.
Thanks, Vance. I'm Dale Leslie. I'm supposed to sign a contract now for Hollywood next week, only there are complications, and I'd like to hire you to straighten them out.
I'm at your service.
Okay, Vance. A fellow named Al Baker owns the Penny Arcade on South Street.
Yes?
A couple of years ago, before I broke into show business, I did something I'm not very proud of. He knows about it. He'll bleed me for life if I make good in pictures.
You want me to see him?
Well, that wouldn't do any good. I've seen him. What I want you to do is to see a man named Davy Rowland. He's my manager. He's also in love with me and a little on the tough side.
You told him about Baker?
That's right, and he didn't like it. He took a burn. He said he'd get Baker. Maybe that's what I wanted him to say, but... what I really wanted was for him to throw a scare into Baker. Now I'm afraid it's going to happen.
In other words, you want to hire me to prevent your Mr. Rowland from doing anything that might be regretted by you and him.
Not to mention by Al Baker, Vance. You see, now I had to get in here to see you. I didn't dare take a chance of being turned away.
I understand. Paradoxical, of course, you're wanting me to keep Mr. Rowland away from Al Baker, when you'd so much rather see Mr. Baker dead.
Pennies! Get your pennies here! Can't see the pictures without the pennies! Get your pennies here! Well, mister, what's with you? You're blocking the booth. You want change or you just want to attract attention?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was in the way. My name is Markham. I'm the district attorney. I was supposed to meet a Mr. Baker who called me, and I don't...
Hello, Markham. I'm Baker.
Oh?
Heard you talking to Pop here. Come on back into my office, will you?
Certainly. You told me on the telephone that Philo Vance had phoned you.
That's right. A few minutes before I called you.
As I understand it, he's been engaged by a Miss Dale Leslie to keep her manager, David Rowland, away from you.
So he said. But I asked him if he was coming down here, and he said no.
He's not. I thought he'd be here to see you. One of the reasons I came down.
Look, D.A., I didn't call you to come down here because I wanted you and Vance to say hello to each other. Come on in.
Right.
I want you to tell that Roland to lay off of me. He's a kind of a rugged character, and he's got a yen for Dale Leslie a mile long. No telling what he might do to me to show that dame how tough he is. Sit down, Roland.
What do you want me to do, Mr. Baker? Supply you with police protection?
What am I, a sissy? I don't want any cops hanging around. I won't need them if you'll call up this Roland guy and tell him you know he's out after me. That'll keep him away.
All right.
You like these pennies on my desk? I keep them as souvenirs.
There isn't much to like or dislike about pennies.
Yeah?
Mr. Baker, the stuff came you ordered. I brought it here. Where do you want me to put it?
Just put the package on the desk.
Okay. It's a little heavy.
Oh, allow me.
Oh, it ain't that heavy, but thanks anyhow. What have you got there, Mr. Baker? Bricks? There.
Okay, Maisie, that's all.
Out?
Out.
Out. See you later, boy.
That's some stuff I bought for this office, Mark. Wait a minute, will you? I want to see if it's all here. Ah, here's the bell. Never forget to send a bell, do they?
No, they don't.
Fountain pen desk, sir. Do you like it, Markham?
Yes, it's very nice. Decorative and useful. I like it very much.
How about this blotter here? The corner's genuine leather. You see what says, genuine leather?
Yes, of course. Mr. Baker, would you mind letting the rest of whatever's in that package stay there until you and I have finished our conversation? I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Oh, sure. That's okay. Just want you to see this stuff, that's all. Hey, are you going to call that Davy Rowland for me and tell him what you said you were going to?
Yes, I will.
Thanks, Markham. Thanks a million. So long, and take care of yourself.
That, Mr. Baker, is a rather strange thing for you to be telling me.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Kraft. That could be Dale calling now.
One way to tell, and that's to answer it, my boy, don't you think?
Sure. Hello?
Davy?
Yeah, where are you, Dale? Mr. Kraft is up here in your apartment waiting for you.
I'm calling from downstairs, Davy. Just wanted to be sure he was there so I'd know what kind of an entrance to make.
Well, make a quick one. See you in a minute. Bye. That was Dale, all right. She was downstairs. She'll be up in a minute.
That's fine.
Mr. Kraft, you're making no mistake in signing that girl. Believe me, you weren't. She's got what it takes. She's alive, tough enough to tease the men and soft enough to please the dames.
We'll see about that, Mr. Rowland. Right now, I'm very anxious to close this matter so that I can get back to the coast.
Matter of minutes now, Mr. Kraft, a matter of minutes. I see you put the clause we wanted in the contract.
Yes, we increase her salary every 6 months if we pick up her option at the end of the first period.
Good, then everything's set. Mr. Kraft, Dale is down to earth. She's real. The people are going to love her. Every mother will think she's her...
Oh, Mr. Kraft, what a pleasant surprise.
Kill it, cutie. I told him you called from downstairs.
Oh. I've just been shopping. It's been so weary. The shops in the avenue aren't at all what
Look, Dale, Mr. Kraft is a busy guy. He's got to leave town. There are your contracts on the table. He signed them and I've seen them. Write your name on both of them, will you? Now.
Oh, well, all right, but there's really no need to rush.
There really is, Miss Leslie. I'm going back to California. I have several things to do before my plane leaves.
Here's a pen, Dale. Make with a name.
Why, of course, Davy, darling. That's one. That's the other. There you are, Mr. Kraft.
Thank you very much. Forgive me for rushing, but I really have to leave. You'll hear directly from the studio, Miss Leslie, as soon as I get back.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Kraft. I tell you, you haven't made a mistake.
Thank you for your assurance. Goodbye, and best of luck to you, Miss Leslie.
Oh, I'll take you to the door. Thank you for what you've done, Mr. Kraft. If there were only some way I could show
Dale,
you...
Mr. Kraft is in a hurry.
Oh,
Oh, that's right. Well, goodbye, Mr. Kraft, and thanks again.
You're welcome, and goodbye. Well, Dale, we did it.
Oh, we sure did. Oh, now I can be myself. Look, Dave, we got the contract, and now we've got to be careful. You've got to promise to lay off that Al Baker.
It could be a little late for you to tell me that now.
Oh, Davy, you didn't...
Relax, everything's under control. Only the district attorney called me and said that Baker was screaming about what he thought I'd do to him.
Well, never mind that. What did Philo Vance say to you?
Vance? I didn't talk to him.
Huh?
What's he got to do with this?
Vance didn't call?
Well, there was no place he could call me. I was here for the past couple of hours waiting for you. The DA got me here when he called to find out from you what my phone number was. What about this Vance business? What's he want from me?
Well, I asked him to talk to you, to make sure you wouldn't do anything to Baker. I knew that you know how smart Vance is, and you wouldn't take a chance on doing anything if he was around.
You're smart. You're a genius.
But...
You're the most stupid dame that ever walked. You told Vance about you and Baker and me?
Well, I had to. Don't you see? I'd rather take a chance of having Baker talk than be mixed up in a murder story.
So no matter what happens to Baker, I'm the fall guy.
What?
Dale, I could kick that pretty face of yours all over this joint. I don't know what stops me.
Davy.
Except I love you. Some reason.
Well, get out of here. Get out of my apartment. Get out or I'll call the cops and I'll have you thrown out. I'm not kidding, Davy. Get out, I said.
Get away from that phone.
You getting out?
All right, dope, prize dope, most stupid dame that ever lived. I'll get out. But you don't know what you're letting yourself in for. Yourself and me both.
Pennies, get your pennies right here. Change your dimes, nickels, and quarters. Get your pennies here.
Excuse me, sir. My name's Markham. I had an appointment with a tall gentleman wearing a Homburg hat. He was supposed to meet me. Have you seen him?
Mister, I don't see anything but pennies. Pennies and people. Only I don't see the faces, only the hands. Been doing this for 10 years. Bet I can tell what a fellow looks like from his hands.
Thank you. I doubt very much whether Vance would ask you for change.
Hello, Markham. How are you? Sorry I'm late.
It's all right, Vance. Just a minute after 2 o'clock. Glad you got here.
Pennies! Get your pennies here. Change your dimes, nickels, and quarters. Pennies right here.
Interesting looking man, isn't he, Markham?
Yes, he is.
Okay, Pop. Lunchtime for you. I'll take over.
Thanks, Maisie. I'll be back.
Okay.
Well, Markham, it seems that you and I are working
pennies.
On this case together. Although we were brought in it by parties on different sides of the fence.
As I explained on the phone, Vance, I'm not really in it. All I did was warn Mr. Davy Rowland that Al Baker has appealed to us.
Mr. Rowland said he'd be here at 2 o'clock. He hasn't shown as yet. It took me several hours to reach him on the phone. I have an idea that if we get him and Baker together, we can straighten everything out amicably.
I imagine so. I wonder what it is that Baker knows about Dale Leslie.
Well, that shouldn't be hard to find out. In fact, I'm pretty sure I know what it is. If I'm not mistaken... Markham, that was a shot.
Yes.
Came from that room back there.
That's Baker's office.
Everybody stay exactly where you are. Don't move. Please, nobody leave this place. Come on, Vance.
I'm on the way, Markham. So this was Baker's office back here.
That's right. I was there this morning talking to him. Come on, Vance.
Right.
Come on in.
Right.
Well... That's our friend Baker, all right. With a bullet in his head.
Slumped over his desk.
His hands are practically touching that new desk pen set he was so proud of.
His head knocked over this desk clock when he slumped. Poor fellow.
Yeah. Well, I'll get Sergeant Heath of Homicide up here at once, Vance. There's a back door to this office, so there's no point in trying to chase whoever shot Baker.
Whoever it is was out the back door the minute he fired, Markham. Well, my friend, we've got a murder case. And a pretty complicated one, I imagine.
Yeah. What's this on the floor, then?
Hmm?
Like a penny. That's probably fell from Baker's desk.
Probably. Well, Markham, we have a murder case, and you've just given it a name.
District Attorney Markham. The 1 cent murder case began with the finding of the body of Al Baker, shot as Vance and I were in his penny arcade. We know that Baker had some information about Dale Leslie, and that Miss Leslie feared blackmail inasmuch as she was about to start a movie contract. We know, too, that her manager, Davy Rowland, was in love with her and had threatened Baker. And I have found something very interesting about a man known as Pop, who made change for the customers at Baker's Arcade. I'm about to tell what I found out to a group of reporters waiting in my office. They are very...
Good afternoon, gentlemen. All right, now, quiet down, please. I won't waste your time. You want to know what developments the police have made on the one-cent murder case?
That's right, T.A. What's going on?
Well, we've made no arrests as yet. We're holding a man named George Dobbs, known at Baker's Arcade as Pop, the changemaker.
What's with him?
Well, Sergeant Heath and I questioned him after the murder. He says he was out to lunch, but we found that he hadn't been to any restaurant in the neighborhood. Now, under questioning, he broke down and admitted that he was the former owner of the arcade.
Hey, fellas, I think the DA's got
something. Now, just a moment, please, gentlemen. Just a moment, please. We've made no charge as yet. But we have made Pop change his story a little. Now he says he didn't go to any restaurant, but was just walking around at the time of the murder.
No alibi, eh? What about your friend Vance, Markham? What's he found out?
Vance? I don't know. He left immediately after the murder. I think he went to see Miss Dale Leslie. But please, don't print that, boys. And I'll give you any details as soon as I get them.
That suits us. Right, fellas?
All right, boys. Thank you very much. That's all I can tell you right now.
Good enough. Okay, boys, I'll write a community headline for all of us. Here it is. Police expect early arrest in one-cent murder case. Let's go, gang.
All right, I did it. You want to know why, don't you? Well, I could tell you why, but I won't. I'll tell you this much, though. He deserved to die. And if I hadn't killed him, it wouldn't have made any difference. Somebody else would have. But I didn't wait for that somebody. Can you understand that? I did it because I wanted to be the one who shot him. I wanted it known that I wiped him off the face of this earth. I wanted everybody to know I did it. What's most important is I wanted to know that I killed him. Now, do what you want with me. It doesn't matter much what it is. In fact, it doesn't matter at all.
Would you put on the lights, please, Mr. Kraft?
Yes, of course, Matt.
Thank you. Well, Miss Leslie, a very good piece of emoting.
Thanks, Mr. Vance.
It's the screen test we made here a couple of weeks ago. We shipped a print to the coast. They told me to sign a write-up.
Which you did, I understand.
That's right.
Hey, sorry, I had to ask you to cancel your plane trip to Hollywood, Mr. Kraft. But it's quite urgent I talk to you. And I did want to see what kind of an actress Miss Leslie was, though thanks for arranging this screening.
Well, the screening wasn't any trouble. Holding me here in New York is upsetting my plans a lot, Vance.
I won't keep you here any longer than is absolutely necessary.
Well, why are you keeping Mr. Kraft here at all, Vance? He had nothing to do with Al Baker's shooting.
Of course I didn't. I never knew the man. I had no reason to want him dead.
Perhaps you never knew him, Mr. Kraft. That's possible. But I wouldn't say you had no reason. For example, perhaps you thought you had a potential star on your hands in Miss Leslie. Star that could make a fortune for your company. You wouldn't want anything to interfere with her career. Anything like what Mr. Baker might have had to say about her.
You think I'd kill Baker for that? Vance, that isn't very logical.
Murder so rarely is, Mr. Kraft. Now, before I ask you this next question, I'd like to warn you. It's the seemingly innocuous question. The one which a murderer has no reason to lie about, but often does. That in many cases traps a killer. Now, were you ever at any time in Baker's Penny Arcade?
Well, no.
All right, if that's the way you want it. You were there, Miss Leslie?
Well, of course, yesterday morning when I went to talk to Al.
What time yesterday morning?
10:30.
You're sure of the time?
Positive.
You're not wearing a watch?
I wasn't then either. But I know it was 10 o'clock when I left my apartment. It was 10:25 when I got out of a cab, and 10:30 on Baker's desk clock while I was there. That gives me a pretty good reason for knowing what time it was.
Yes, it does. You didn't go back there in the afternoon about 2?
Oh, now, Vance.
Just asking, that's all.
And what did you find out by all these questions, Vance?
Now that, Mr. Kraft, would be telling.
Leslie, please excuse my dropping in on you at your apartment. This is not exactly an official visit.
Well, Mr. Markham, I'm certainly glad of that. I had quite a little semi-official visit with your friend Philo Vance about an hour ago, and I'm officially a little tired. Vance seems very interested in the Hollywood scout, Mr. Kraft. And I'm very interested in ducking all this unpleasant publicity.
I can understand that. Miss Leslie, Vance and I are working independently on this case, which is a little unusual, but I think we can get better results that way. That's why I came up here. To see if you knew where David Rowland is. We haven't been able to find him, you know.
David? Why, he... Oh, sit still, Mr. Markham. I'll go to the door.
Whoever it is, please don't be long. I'm quite anxious to get going on this case.
All right, Mr. Markham. Yes?
You're Dale Leslie, I know. I'm Pop. I work down at Baker's Penny Arcade. I gotta come and talk to...
Why so surprised at seeing me, Pop? You were in my office all morning.
Miss Leslie, I'll see you some other time. Goodbye.
Now, what in the world was that?
I don't know.
But I know what Vance would think. He'd think Pop might have come up with the idea of blackmailing you, and when he saw me, he changed his mind in a hurry.
Blackmailing me? Well, how could he do that?
Well, supposing he saw you around the arcade about the time of the murder. He could threaten to tell that to the police, couldn't he? Miss Leslie, you're not in a very favorable spot, believe me. But I'll worry about Pop later. Right now, I want to know where David Rowland, your manager, might be.
Well, he might be almost anywhere, but... It so happens that he's with your friend, Philo Vance.
Close the door, will you please, Mr. Rowland? Noise isn't very conducive to concentration.
Why, sure, Vance. Up to now, I was a manager. Now I'm a door closer.
You're also a murder suspect.
Yes, I know. You're only missing one thing, aren't you, Vance? Proof. You've got your whole story and no proof.
Unfortunate, isn't it? You know who just called on the telephone, don't you?
Why, sure, I got he is. It was the D.A., Markham.
That's right. He's bringing Miss Leslie down here. And he'll have old Pop and the Hollywood talent scout, Mr. Kraft, with him when he comes.
Well, let's push the rugs back. We'll have a party.
All right. Mr. Rowland, I found something very interesting in Mr. Baker's desk.
Lucky you.
Oh, not curious?
I didn't say that.
In that case, I'll tell you what I found. It was a bill for several articles that Baker purchased the day he was killed. He bought a fountain pen desk set, a clock, a blotter, and that paper knife on the table.
Hmm? Setting up housekeeping, I guess, huh?
No, but he was supplying us with proof of the identity of his murderer.
What?
Sit down, Mr. Rowland.
You, really know who killed Baker Vance?
You wouldn't bet I didn't know, would you?
No. Only you're not going to be able to tell anybody that you know Vance. I'm going to see to that right now.
They told me you were tough, Mr. Rowland. Let's see. Out! Out! No, Mr. Rowland. You really were a tough character, weren't you? But not tough enough.
Vance, I'm sorry to...
Davy!
What happened here?
Oh, Mr. Rowland objected to my knowing the identity of Mr. Baker's killer, Markham.
This is a little silly, this whole thing, Vance. I've got to get back to the coast.
Do you now, Mr. Kraft? Well, I won't keep you long. Oh, Markham, you know Mr. Davy Rowland had no alibi for the time of the murder, don't you?
I realize that, Vance. But you must have found out something else, and when you did, apparently he tried to get you.
Davy was just the guy who would try, I guarantee that.
He tried, all right. As soon as he knew that I knew who killed Al Baker, he tried desperately.
Well, you can't blame him. He was fighting for his life, wasn't he?
No, Miss Leslie. He was fighting for yours. You murdered Al Baker.
Hey, Mr. Vance, got a minute?
Why, yes, I think so, young lady. You're the assistant cashier at this arcade, aren't you?
Oh, I'm everything around here. But now that Pop's the new boss, at least I get paid some real dough. Mr. Vance, I read in the papers where this gal, Dale Leslie, confessed after you accused her of killing Baker. But it didn't say why she did it.
Your former employer knew that she'd served a jail sentence at one time. That was the reason.
Ah. And the paper said how she tried to throw the heat on that manager of hers. She's a kind of a rat, I guess.
Well, considering the fact that he tried to kill me to prevent my revealing that she was the killer, I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah. Hey, would you want to tell me how you knew she did the job?
Certainly. Miss Leslie admitted that she had been in Mr. Baker's office the morning of his murder, but denied that she'd come back later. There was a back entrance to Baker's office, and that's how she got in and out.
Well, I get that so far.
Well, she said she was positive she was here at 10:30 in the morning because she saw the time on Baker's desk clock. But the desk clock wasn't delivered until noon.
Hey, that's right. I brought it in there myself.
Yes, I know. Well, when Miss Leslie started to talk about a desk clock that wasn't delivered until hours after she was here, the morning of the murder, I knew that she had come back.
Well, sure. How could she know about the clock?
That is exactly it. And if she lied about coming back to Baker's office, it could only be for one reason. To hide the fact that she killed Baker.
Oh, I see now. Gee, thanks, Mr. Vance. Now I can go relieve Pop for lunch and be happy. I gotta go begin to hand out those pennies again.
Go ahead. Begin to hand out the pennies right at the end of the 1 cent murder case.
For Case Closed this week. I hope you enjoyed our stories this time. Remember to go to RelicRadio.com for more from the FBI and Peace and War, Philo Vance, and other old-time radio stories. And be sure to come back next week. We'll hear from Crime Club and Richard Diamond, Private Detective, on another episode of Case Closed.